You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan, we are not in the office today.
We are not. And we're not on Zoom either.
We are not. You know, we're in a great place. Gift from God in the middle of West Texas.
Yes.
You know, people don't believe that we have this beautiful canyon here.
They don't. And it's such a magical place. We love it. It's our location for our crazy bike event.
Yes.
And we just absolutely take our cancer survivors out here and do some hikes and fun stuff.
Yes. You know, we are so blessed to have survivors that ride this crazy bike event.
Yes.
Some 24, some 12, some 6. I'm not going to even pretend to know all the categories.
There's a lot.
Yes, they are. But, you know, we also have some awesome sponsors, Pink Shoe Project.
Yes.
And this podcast couldn't be possible without their support. So shout out to the Pink Shoe Project.
For reals. Listen, you guys listening, go back, find our episode that we did with the Pink Shoe Project. They have a wonderful mission of providing, as it says, pink shoes for women going through breast cancer. The Robisons are a part of that, and it's a wonderful program, and we want to definitely give them a lot of plugs.
Yes. You know, one of the things that we get to do here at the event is talk to survivors that choose to ride this event.
Yes.
And so we're excited to talk to our first guest, Debbie, all the way from Austin.
Good to meet you today.
How are you today?
Excellent. Can't have a bad day in the canyon. This is beautiful.
And this is the first time you've come to the canyon, correct?
First time I've seen the canyon. We spent all afternoon wandering around taking pictures. I think I broke my iPhone.
Uh-oh.
Well, I tell you, it is a beautiful place. You know, there's a lot to see. But here's what's cool about this is you're a cancer survivor and you're participating. So tell us, what type of cancer were you diagnosed in the year?
In 2008, when I was 49 turning 50, I found a lump in my breast. So I was diagnosed with ductal carcinoma breast cancer and was treated by Texas Oncology. I ride with them on their team because, of course, they were my coordinators of my care and provided me my care in Austin. And I'm here today because everything worked well.
That's
fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. So how has your diagnosis impacted your perspective on life?
I don't think that anybody that has a cancer diagnosis cannot be faced with, you know, their own mortality, but it's not just your cancer. It's everybody that you're in contact with, your family, friends, and you, if you aren't touched by cancer at some time, you will be with someone else, if
right.
not yourself.
Right.
But it makes you appreciate your things that you get to enjoy, like this, nature, you know, kind of what God gives you. It makes you very appreciative of everything around you.
Your eyes are kind of open to the things that maybe wasn't before.
Absolutely.
Things that maybe were very important, seemed important, are less important.
Are much less important. Much less important.
Yeah.
The important things become glaringly obvious.
Glaringly obvious. That's
your
very
family,
good way to put it.
Your loved ones, your children, you know, everything becomes glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, this is your first time to be here.
Yes.
Why did you choose to participate in 24 Hours?
I was invited by Tim Skelly from Texas Oncology.
Oh, yes.
And I have ridden and run multiple of their events. I'm an Iron Woman. And so I try to find all events that have some sort of cancer survivorship or cancer a mission in them to participate in. That is what I do. Other than the Ironman events, I look for cancer survivorship issues to participate
in. So I'm here in Ironman. I feel like you're pretty competitive then.
No.
No?
No. I'm a finisher. I'm a turtle.
Hey, slow and steady wins the race.
Right, exactly. I just peek my head up every once in a while and say, okay, there's the finish line. If I get there, I'm good.
There's where I'm going. Yeah, slow and steady wins the race, Pam.
Yeah.
So what advice or words of encouragement would you offer to other survivors?
In being a survivor for as many years as I have been, I see the treatments so much improved and your options improve. And so to anybody who is a cancer survivor or who has been diagnosed with cancer more recently, there are just so many options and you need to avail yourself and make sure you research and find things, what's right for you, because cancer is such an individual thing in each person.
Yes.
You know, Ryan, we talk about that all the time. You know, be an advocate for yourself.
Advocacy, yeah. Exactly. Yes.
So, well, I hope you have an amazing first experience out here.
Yes.
And we're so happy that you came all the way from Austin.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I just don't want to die of the heat. I just want to, you know.
Drink plenty of water.
A lot of water. Take some breast breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it easy. Yeah. Well, thank you, you know, for sharing your story, for joining us, and thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And I think it's what's cool, too, Pam, is like she's an ambassador for Texas Oncology, which is a really cool thing.
Absolutely. Well, and just to give you an idea, you know, for you need to get involved in causes like this, because this year on my team, all the women that are on my team, out of them, three of them were diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And so this was a pretty banner year for breast cancer on my team. And so this is even more important to me this year because, you know, I basically was support for three people that were very close to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, your community.
Your community. Fantastic. We hear that word often, too.
We do.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good event.
Thank you so much for interviewing. And you guys, this is awesome. Keep it up because I'll be back.
Yes, ma'am. Same time next year.
All right.
Thank you.
I think he's been on our podcast before.
Yes.
Byron, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Yeah, you know, Byron is someone I would consider to have grown to become a friend, you know, by way of mountain bikes. I've seen him on the trails. In fact, one time I nearly came over a hill on the trail, and he was setting up his camera to take some pictures, and we nearly collided. But no, Byron, thanks for joining us. Let's just kind of reintroduce yourself and tell everybody where you're from.
My name is Byron Toundro. I live locally out of Amarillo. I'm retired, and I'm old.
I don't know about that.
So how has your diagnosis impacted your perspective on life?
It makes you value each day. To me, each day that I live is a gift. I'm almost 10 years into the original, from being diagnosed on the original date back in 2015. And I appreciate every day that I'm still here. I've had a pretty close friend that was diagnosed with the same type of cancer that I had, and she fought it for 2 years, but she's no longer here. And she had the same exact cancer I had. I feel fortunate, I feel blessed, and I just appreciate, you revalue every day when you experience something like this.
And remind us, Byron, what kind of cancer were you diagnosed with?
I had bladder cancer. And to share a little personal information regarding that, a lot of people that are diagnosed with that type of cancer, at the very least, they lose their bladder and they have to use a bag. Right. And I didn't have to experience any of that. I'm still intact, I'm still whole, and I'm healed.
That's so awesome.
That's great. That is really great.
So why do you choose to participate in 24?
Well, I'm getting older, and it's a way for me to help others that are still battling the disease. It's my way of kind of battling for them. So it helps Ryan and this organization raise money to help those that are still battling and still dealing with the fight. I'm older now, but I still try to hang on to my youth. And so this is a way for me to get up off of the couch and Like my common term is keep moving, and that's what I'm doing.
You may be older, but it sounds like you're a lot wiser.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Keep moving.
Keep moving.
And that's kind of the theme for this weekend, right?
Keep moving. That's exactly right.
In a 24-hour event, Pam, there are people who take a rest break. There are people who nap. There are people who take long extended rest breaks. But the theme is to keep moving.
Keep moving. Yeah. Just keep moving. Even if it's a slow pace, it's like the old saying, objects or things in motion tend to stay in motion, and those bodies that tend to stay at rest stay at rest. And I don't want to be one of those. I want to stay in motion.
Stay in motion. Yeah. Well, Byron, what advice, or maybe in words of encouragement, would you offer to those that are currently diagnosed and or going through treatment or finishing their treatment?
I would hope that if they were needing help emotionally, that they would seek that help, because the disease of cancer, it messes with your mental state. There's more people that are dealing with the battle that you're undergoing, and it can put a lot of pressure on the person with the cancer, basically dealing with the unknown. Because at some point after that diagnosis, I guarantee you that person's going to kind of struggle with dealing with the unknown. What's going to happen? What's next?
Yes.
How long will I be here? How will my family deal with this? How will my family be if I leave? That sort of thing. And I would hope that they would seek help through either 24 Hours in the Canyon counselors and things like that, yes, just for that little bit of help to push to keep them going and to keep fighting. That's the main thing, is don't give up the battle. Don't give up.
Yeah. You know, Pam, I think that's a good moment for us to just interject real fast that, as Byron's saying about mental health, and we know that's important, we have resources that we have available for folks living in the 26 counties of the Panhandle for free. Mental health resources, we have counselors we work with, both Spanish and English speaking, and we can fill that gap and make that happen.
You know, we have the support groups that, you know, if you're not comfortable going to counseling by yourself, we have a support group. We also have support groups for caregivers.
That's right.
Like you said, it's not just the person going through the
exactly
cancer.
Exactly. So,
you know, we're very blessed to be able to do all the things that we do here at the center with your generous donation. So thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Byron.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Well, have a good evening.
You know, Ryan, the next guest is near and dear to my heart because I had the privilege of working with her to help improve survivors' life. And now she's on the opposite side of the table as a survivor.
Yeah.
And, you know, who couldn't love Shirley?
You know, Pam, I remember when we, if our listeners will bear us a few minutes here, not long, but a few minutes, when we first started this project and this program and getting things rolling, we knew what we needed. We didn't know who would fill those needs, right?
Exactly.
And we needed someone to help our survivors kind of get back on their feet, whether that's exercising, maybe going to the gym, strengthening, reconditioning.
Right.
And I knew just the person.
But, you know, it wasn't just the person. It was also her energy, her vibes, you know. It's just, it takes a special person to work with survivors.
It does. And we were very lucky to have Shirley.
We were.
For a number of years.
A lot of years.
And, you know, Shirley Blank worked with a lot of our folks. And Shirley, let's just talk about what type of cancer you were diagnosed with and when you were diagnosed.
Okay. I had bladder cancer. I was diagnosed last August and had it removed, and I've done my treatment, and so I still have to be checked and monitored closely, but that's what I had.
So how has your diagnosis impacted your life? Or your perspective on life?
Listen, that was rude. I only laugh because Shirley and I have had these conversations.
Yeah, we have. You know, other than your entire world getting turned upside down, I never in a million years thought I'd be on this side of things. And so everything everything has changed. The way you look at life, the way you look at forgiveness, the way you look at gratitude, and the way you pull into your faith. And that's what I've had to do.
You know, I know you work with survivors. So can you say you get it?
Oh, I do. Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Because being on this side, it is more about survivorship and quality of life.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be one of those questions that is the duh, but why do you choose to participate in 24 Hours, and what's the significance?
Well, I guess before, I say BC, my husband and I used to say BC before children, now I can say BC before cancer. Mm-hmm. Before, I did for everybody else. I had my sign, and y'all have seen my sign, y'all posted my sign. I have a blank slate that starts out, and I write for everybody else. And this year, I originally said that it was going to be about me, and I was going to just do a sign just for me. But it's not just about me. It's about all of us on this side of things and being a survivor. So it's about all of us.
You know, I wrote an article about the community. You never want to be part of this community, but once you are, you understand that community.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You know,
so.
It's interesting how, as you said, it's about me. And then all of a sudden you go, wait. It's about a lot of me's and a lot of other people.
Exactly. My name was put down four times. I had four of my friends give me my own name for my own son.
Wow.
And it is. So.
So what advice or words of encouragement would you give to survivors?
That's a great question, too, because there's lots of advice that everybody has an opinion. So I've had a lot of people give me opinions, and even from the first day, getting second opinions, if that's what I needed. Do your research and be a lifelong learner, because I've learned that what is right for me may not necessarily be right for somebody else. So I've had to lean into my faith and believe. And you were actually one of the very first ones that said, well, God already knows the plan.
Yeah.
And this is his plan. It's not my plan, but I will follow and I will give him the glory.
So awesome. Shirley, you know, I know you're excited about this weekend. I know that you're going to be out there non-competitive, mm-hmm. but...
Which is weird, Pam.
I know.
If anybody knows Shirley, she
I've
is
always.
Not non-competitive. But here's the
I
thing.
Know.
I applaud
always.
You and I told you this.
Yeah.
This is a different year.
It is. And you encouraged me in that area because I've always done competitive.
Right.
I did do non-competitive once before. But you encouraged me, and that's when I told all my ladies. I have four survivors on my team, two that really don't want to be acknowledged, and that's fine as well. I had that conversation mm-hmm. with Pam, mm-hmm. and that's okay. So this year I told them this is about restoration and health,
yeah.
and that's what we're going to do, and
yeah.
we're all here together.
So for our listeners that may be a survivor, what would you tell them about their survivorship center?
That was one of the God sends for me, and not just because I worked there, but I knew what it was from the very beginning. And if I didn't have that, I don't know where I'd be, because first it puts a lot of people together that you have like... You just have the same thing, and you have an understanding with each other, and you get tired of reinventing that same wheel and explaining over and over again. So being able to go to the nutrition classes, learn things that I thought I knew it all because I was the trainer and I made smoothies and I drank green drinks and juices, and I'm learning a lot and being a lifelong learner and having that camaraderie, going to the retreat, going to yoga classes, getting massages and counseling. Oh my gosh, I've told so many people and they just haven't always participated because they don't know how. And I've just brought them with me. I've brought a lot of ladies with me.
It seems like a bus pulls up when Shirley shows up.
The fun bus.
They do. I got a 10 women team this year and a lot of them had never done it before. And I said, there's nothing to be afraid of. We're just going to go have fun. And And that's what we're doing. We're here for each other. It's a tribe. That's what I told the lady the other night. It's a tribe, and if I didn't have that tribe, I don't know where I'd be.
You know, we had a previous person on our podcast, Sharon McNutt, talk about the Vibe Tribe, and it's definitely your Vibe Tribe.
Yeah, it is.
It's your people.
It is, and they cooked for me every week when I had treatment. They brought me things. They went walking with me. They didn't take me to eat crappy food. They would say, let's go get a smoothie or a salad. And it is. It's a tribe that I'll never forget. I've got a great life.
That's so awesome. Well, Shirley, thank you for raising money. You know how directly how it comes back to our center to do what we can do. Yeah. So without people like you, we couldn't do what we do. So thank you.
You're welcome. It was a great year.
Listen, we've known each other a long time. I hired
you. Yes, you have. We've known each other a long time. I've ridden a long time.
You have.
Probably longer than some of these people have been alive. I've said that. I first will ask him, how old are you? I've been riding longer than you've been on the earth.
You know, Shirley probably took me on my first hike here in the canyons.
And the zip line.
And the zip line. Yeah. You know, we have some great memories, we will continue to have those memories.
We will.
Awesome. You know, no, I appreciate you being an ambassador for us.
Yeah.
And for cancer survivors.
Have been and always will be.
Thank you.
Now more than ever.
Yes. Thank you, Shirley.
You're welcome.
Have a good event.
Thanks.
Our next guest is Chris Anderson, all the way from Iowa. Chris, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well,
thanks for having me.
This is our pleasure. You came up all the way from Iowa. When did y'all leave?
I left yesterday about 9:30.
Yeah.
So how did you hear about this event?
Well, so I initially got back into mountain biking after about 20 years and decided I wanted to do some sort of challenging event. Yeah.
So why not 24, right?
Right. Go big or go home, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, tell our listeners what type of cancer you were diagnosed with and when you were diagnosed.
Sure. The spring of 2021 was diagnosed with Hürthle cell carcinoma. It's a type of thyroid cancer.
So how has your diagnosis impacted your life's perspective?
You know, it has been, since it occurred during the pandemic,
yes.
You know, it's really hard for me to determine what was cancer and what was just sort of this whole, you know, this whole shift for everyone.
Right.
You know? So,
right.
You know, so for me, it was, you know, I sort of, the difference was, you know, sort of better focus on health.
Right. There was a lot of that during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it seemed like people.
But of course, you had another reason other than just the pandemic.
Right. So, yeah. So it was sort of, you know, focus on, you know, better health, you know, not sweating the small stuff.
Right.
You know, kind of putting things in perspective and, you know, really focusing on things that improve my quality of life. And those would be spending more time with friends, family,
yes,
and fur babies, the three F's.
Oh, friends, family, fur babies. Well, let's hear about the fur babies.
Well, so three dogs. And I feel like dogs are just so good for teaching people to try to live in the moment.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're amazing little creatures that can sense what's wrong with us. They're always happy to see us. You know, I know for mine, when I walk in the door, he's the happiest to see me compared to the rest of the family.
More happy in my house, it seems like. The dogs are happier to see me than the family. You know, you talked about or hinted at, right, go big or go home of why you chose to participate in 24 Hours. But what is the significance of this event hold for you?
Well,
and this is your first time, but have you given any thought to that?
I did. You know, really there's three things. Number one, after I was diagnosed and had my thyroid removed, you know, just kind of sluggish, you know, kind of in this, there's a fur baby there. You know, just things were kind of sluggish, you know, and you're like, well, where do I go from here? Right.
Right.
And in Des Moines, they have a doctor, Dr. Richard Deming, he has a nonprofit that tries to do something, you know, to help cancer survivors or people going through cancer. And they offer grants for gym memberships for a couple months. So,
sure.
And then this guy is, I think he's 75 years old, a doctor, teaches a spin class every Wednesday, and his energy is just infectious. And, you know, so I kind of got back, you know, back into the cycling, back working out, and the progress was really, it was slow. I mean, it was frustratingly slow getting back the energy. So that was really reason number one, is like, once I saw that you guys are in the business of helping cancer survivors, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is a great cause. This is the cause I can get behind.
Yes.
You know, so that's really reason number one. Number two, like I said, got back into mountain biking after 20 years. And it's just such a positive sport, you know, because you have to be in the moment. You have to be focused.
You do.
You know, in everything you're doing, your mind can't wander.
You got to be present.
Yes, you have to be present. You know, so I really enjoy that. And then... third, probably the most, you know, feel good reason is kind of hoping that this is, was very frustrated that last year's event was rained out. I was signed up for last year's event.
You weren't
event.
The only one.
Yeah.
Because really I marked this on the calendar of like, this is the date I am saying, you know, I am done with this cancer thing. It's completely behind me.
Yes.
You know, and that's sort of like the go big here. You know, I want to do a challenge that is bigger than, you know, bigger than what I think I can do. Right. And I don't know what that looks like in this event because...
You're going to find out.
I'm going to find out. Yes, exactly.
We want to hear about it the next year you come back.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, real quick, what kind of advice or words of encouragement would you offer to anyone who's currently going through treatment or maybe in remission?
Well, I think for those in remission, really the big thing is, you know, to look around you, you know, who is with you through that journey. And that's your village. I mean, those are the people that you really need to prioritize in your life post-cancer, right? You know, so I guess that's what I recommend.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, those are the people who matter. And then I think for the people currently battling cancer, you know, you're going to have bad hours, you're going to have bad days, you're going to have bad weeks. But, you know, kind of like the metaphor of this event is you just have to keep pedaling. Right?
Yes. You know, that sounds like one of our previous guests that just said, just keep moving. Just keep moving.
Yep. You know, and
same metaphor.
Yep. Same, you know, same thing. And it just seems like it marries well, very well for this event. You know,
it does. It does. Wow.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing your story, being here all the way from Iowa. We hope that you come back. And,
thank you for having me.
You know, it is a beautiful place to be here.
It sure is.
We hope that you're at the start to see what everybody talks about, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will say, coming from Iowa, like this
it's a little
was
different, isn't it?
A little different. And, you know, you're just driving and it's flat for, it's completely
hours,
flat.
Did you
for
think
hours.
The prank was on you?
Yeah. You know, it's completely flat for about 150, 200 miles. And then all of a sudden,
the bottom falls out.
The speed limit drops like 10 miles an hour. You're like, well, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, here's this huge canyon in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It's pretty magical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cool. So thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Have a good event.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, Pam, before we get to our next guest real quick, I want to do another shout out to our sponsor of this podcast episode, the Pink Shoe Project.
Our friends,
David and Rhonda Robison and their daughter, Jessica, that they lost to breast cancer, and her husband and the kiddos. You know, it's a wonderful organization. Check them out at pinkshoeproject.org. Give them a look. Listen, this is what's cool about that is if you know someone who's living anywhere, they can manage getting pink shoes shipped to that person while they're going through treatment.
You know, Ron, I don't know if you know this, but I recently got an email from one of our other people that we have talked to on this podcast, Hope for Scarves.
Yes.
And the Pink Shoe Project is now partnering with the Hope for Scarves.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, you know, not only can they get pink shoes, they can get
a scarf with them.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Let's get to our next guest.
Yes, let's do that. You know, this one is another one that's been on our podcast before, and it's always fun to see some folks that don't live around here that come back and participate and join us. You know, very glad to introduce and reintroduce David McConico. David, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
Fantastic. Well, tell our listeners what type of cancer you were diagnosed with and when you were diagnosed.
Well, can I tell a funny story first?
Sure.
About
Absolutely.
David Robinson.
You know David.
Well, I met him. You know, we always do the non-competitive, so we're not on the race course, but we'll skip over to the race course when it's dark because everybody's spread out and they're
You shouldn't tell the event director that.
Okay, I won't tell. I'll just strike that from the record. But
you didn't
I
hear
met
that.
Him and I rode up behind him and he's got a pink tutu on and we started talking and it was just really cool to hear him.
His story.
Tell me his story.
An amazing
as
story.
We were riding. And
yeah.
Very
yeah.
emotional. You know, it's dark.
Yes.
Two grown men crying, riding bikes.
It's hard.
It was really.
I mean, that he does that to me too.
Yeah.
And it's powerful.
It
their,
is.
Their story and testimony is very powerful.
Yes.
It is. Well, to answer your question, I had colon rectal cancer, and I was diagnosed in 2016 after. Ignoring symptoms, mm-hmm. so I would highly recommend and strongly urge people over 40 or 45 to get, you know, colonoscopies yes. and get checked because mine was staged at 3B, which is just one notch above 4, which 4's really bad.
Right.
So it was. Tough diagnosis, but it wasn't a shocking diagnosis to me because I had been ignoring all these symptoms as a stupid guy for a long time.
Sure. So for our, you just said a stupid guy?
Stupid.
So for
stubborn.
Our male listeners,
yeah.
take his advice.
Absolutely.
And female survivors or people out there, you know, 45 is the age of colon screening, so make sure you go get your screenings. David, how has your diagnosis impacted your perspective on life?
I just live every day to the fullest. I mean, you just realize what a gift life really is after you're kind of given what could be a death sentence. You know, it's uncertain at the time. You know, it's shocking. And, you know, you're going through all kinds of treatments and you're not feeling good through the treatments. And it was a super tough year. Full of surgeries, chemo, radiation. I mean, it ran the whole gamut of, you know, just the treatment.
And it doesn't just stop after.
Oh no, they
your treatment's ended.
No, my radiation nurse told me radiation's the gift that keeps on giving.
Huh. Pam, how many times have we said that about cancer?
Cancer, yes.
And chemo too, because you know I suffered with neuropathy in my feet and in my fingers for a while and just different things. And of course, you know, chemo brain, it's a real thing. I don't know whether it's old timers or chemo brain or a combination of both.
You just pull that chemo card whenever you
but
want.
But it's chemo card. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
It's chemo. I'm chemo brain.
For sure. For sure. Well, David, I know the answer to this question, but I want you to share it with our listeners is, you know, why do you choose to participate? How many years have you done 24 Hours?
This is the seventh year.
Seventh year. So why do you choose to do 24 Hours, and why do you keep coming back?
I just think it's a super cool event. It's an event that I had on my radar before I was diagnosed. But after I was diagnosed, I knew that the following year, if God gave me another year to ride, I was going to be here, and so I've been here every year.
Is there something particular about the race during the 24 hours that really is meaningful for you?
Well, I just, you know, having been through what I went through and then having close friends, family that has gone through it, some still with us, some not with us anymore, you know, you kind of ride for them. And I just do a lot of praying. When I'm not riding when you're with your buddies, you're bantering back and forth and heckling each other and encouraging each other, but there are quiet times and you just kind of draw back on memories and people.
I would like to interject real fast if Pam, if you'd permit me. I know David, we lost a member of the 24 Hours family a few years ago, Steve Schmidt, and I know he's a very good friend of yours, and Steve was on our podcast, and wonderful man. Wonderful man.
Absolutely, yeah. I loved him like a brother. Yeah.
He's kind of a jokester, right?
He was. We both had a really witty, sarcastic, kind of mean-spirited sense of humor, at least towards each other.
Yeah.
And our wives, when we went on vacation a couple of times together, and they were like, man, y'all play hard, you know? And it's like, that's our love
That's
language.
What we do.
That's what we do, yeah. You know? I mean, that's why we like each other.
That is so awesome.
I know. And I know you'll be thinking of David. And I know.
Steve and David.
David. I'm sorry. I know you'll be thinking of Steve. And I know that Steve's watching over him. I know he is. He was a good dude.
Yeah, he was a great dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good dude.
So one last question. Yes. What advice or word of encouragement would you offer to others going through this journey?
You know, I would just say, as corny as it sounds, my granddaughter, we watch Kung Fu Panda almost every time she comes over. And there's a great line from the original, from the first one, where Master Oogway says, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, today is a gift, and that's why they call it the present. So I would just say, live in the present. Fight your fight, you know. For me, I drew on my faith. I couldn't have got through my journey without my faith. And knowing that whatever came, I was going to be okay. You know, and you know, I just say that's the main thing to me is draw on your faith, find friends who support you and love you through it. You can't get through it alone.
You know, we talk often about community, and we are so blessed with the Survivorship Center here in Amarillo. And finding that community is so important for survivors.
It is huge.
It's very big, yeah.
Well, David, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And have a great event, man.
Yeah.
It's always good to see you, sir.
Thanks. You too, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Kathy, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Tell us about yourself and where you're from.
Well, I'm Kathy Lozano. I was raised in Amarillo. I live in Kenyon now.
Yeah.
I was a teacher for 34 years.
God bless you.
Yes, that's what I think too.
You know, the other thing, Pam, is our paths crossed while you were teaching.
Yes.
Would you mind sharing that story?
Yes.
Because it means a lot to me.
Okay, it means a lot to me too. First of all, my husband had died 2 years previous to me having cancer. He had cancer also. But when I was diagnosed with cancer, at first it was kind of mild. They didn't think it was like a zero stage, you know. But then it intensified, and I didn't tell anybody at school for quite a while. But then it got out. And so your son, he was not my student, but he had heard it in the halls that I had cancer, because I did open up to my students because I knew they were going to hear it, and I knew that they would see the changes that was going to take place in me. And so one day he just bopped into my classroom. He was, I think, maybe a freshman, and he said, "You need to go to the Cancer Survivor Center." And I had always been very athletic, you know, very, and I don't know, it was just like, okay, I will. And then I just did. I just took it upon myself, and I don't even remember, but I just showed up at the Cancer Survivor Center.
And you, the first thing that you did at the Survivorship Center was what?
Well, I can't remember a lot of the stuff, but I know that I was always into... My husband was a coach, and we always went to the town club and lifted weights and worked out. So the most important thing that happened to me was meeting Shirley and her being my personal trainer. And that's what I did. I think I came maybe 3 times a week or something. And even afterwards, I mean, I just kept coming.
Yeah.
And I kept doing it.
You know, Pam, it means so much to me to hear you share that story. Because, you know, when you see your child embrace what you do and comes across someone and realizes, hey, we have something that can help you if you need it.
That's exactly how I felt. He was so honest and so excited about it that I felt like he was trying to reach me to help me.
So sweet. What a sweet story. And to hear Bryson's grown up. And
yeah, he's 23. He's working on our medical team. He's a fireman for Randall County Fire. He's out here helping folks that are in a time of medical need that they might need. And it's amazing. And I'm so glad that you're here. And on our podcast. It's so great.
Yes, yeah.
It's so great. Well, tell us, how has your diagnosis impacted your perspective on life?
I remember saying this, and it sounds kind of different, I guess, but I remember saying I would never have chosen to have cancer. But with that being said, it changed my life. It opened my eyes in a very different perspective of life. And it gave me an opportunity to embrace things that I never had embraced before. And it's not that I'm glad I had cancer, but that's what was given to me, and it was okay.
You know, oftentimes we hear about all the bad things cancer does, but I believe that there is some blessings with the diagnosis. You know, you see life different.
You do. Yeah. You see, I could go to my chemo, and I would grade papers, but it was like, you always know that there's, whatever stage you're in, there's somebody worse than you. And you can always do and say things to bring a lightness and a happiness. And Shirley helped me with that because we had fun. I mean, when we worked out, we had a good time.
How can
time.
You not have fun when you're with Shirley?
Well, she just has that air, you know, and it's so, and we became lifelong friends. But I can remember, you know, after I had gone through chemo, my husband received the Randall High School Hall of Fame after he died. And the lady that was over the chemo at Harrington, she was there. I had to give the speech to accept it.
Yes.
And she came up because she remembered me, because it was just a lightness that we had, you know, even in the chemo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that's a really cool story too, being inducted into the Hall of Fame of the high school. Mm-hmm. That's really neat.
So why do you choose to participate in 24?
Because I think it's important to, I want to stay active in all sorts of athletic stuff. And Shirley kind of asked me, and it was non-competitive. There was no pressure. And I think it's great. I wanted to be in it.
So have you always rode bikes?
I used to way, way, way a long time ago, but not recently. You know, I play tennis and I play pickleball, and, you know, we did a run. But now doing this makes me want to do bikes.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So what?
Hang on, Pam. Oh. I'm going to interrupt. Hey, come here, sir. Do you remember Kathy Lozano?
I do.
This is my son, Bryson.
How are you?
You came into my room one day.
Yes, I did.
And said, you need to go to the Cancer Survivor
yes,
Center.
Yes, ma'am. So.
He looks a lot different than he did then.
Well,
doesn't he?
Grown up.
Yeah, you are grown up.
Yes, ma'am.
I do recognize you, but you are grown up.
That's good. That's good. Perfect. Good to go. Yeah. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just saw him and snagged him. What a special. It means the world to me as a dad. Gosh, I lost my train of thought here.
Man. You caught him speechless. This is the first time. We better mark the calendar. So what advice or words of encouragement would you give to someone that is newly diagnosed or currently going through the battle of cancer?
I would say, do not be a couch potato.
Yeah.
Get up, move. It helps your mental. It helps your physical. And I know that Dr. Pruitt and Dr. Arsenault, both my chemo and my radiation doctor, were thrilled because I never quit playing tennis. When I told my tennis instructor that I was going to have to go through through chemotherapy, the first thing he says is, don't quit playing tennis.
Yeah.
And I didn't. Now, I went to the Masters golf tournament and fell down the escalator because I was off balance. But, you know, I just kept on. And I would say, go to the Cancer Survivor Center. That was very important. Because when you go there, you are around people that are going through the same thing you are.
Yeah.
And some people help you, and some people you are helping them, and you might find a lifelong friend like I did.
That's so sweet. It's, you know, Ryan, we never see behind the stories or get to see the relationships grow. We know they're there,
yeah,
but that is the coolest thing, you know, finding that community that understands what you've gone through, and what a beauty it is.
Without a doubt, without a doubt, it's so wonderful.
You know, and I would tell a person, be bold, brilliant, and empowering, because everybody can be, because life is an adventure, and don't let cancer be a big part of it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Kathy, I hope you have a fun weekend. Go Team Shirley.
Team Shirley all the way. I know, right?
Now, don't have too much fun, but okay. we're happy that you're here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And we have another DFW Metroplex survivor coming and riding this year.
You know, it amazes me how many people travel to this event.
Yeah.
Not just from DFW, but
when
other
we first
states.
Started this thing, the reason we chose initially was the weekend after Memorial Day, because my thought was, well, everybody's going to go out of town on Memorial Day. They'll stay in town after Memorial Day, because that's what we never dreamed we would pull people from. You know, DFW, much less 18 different states.
Yes.
It's so crazy. Which, of course, then it turned out that when we dug a little deeper, it ends on National Cancer Survivor Day, which is perfect.
You know, I think that's a God thing.
It is. There's no doubt, which is why we're here today.
Yeah.
And we're talking with another cancer survivor, Joshua Uzel. Joshua, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. So let's jump right in and talk about what type of cancer you were diagnosed with and when you were diagnosed.
So I was diagnosed with melanoma November of 2022.
So how has your diagnosis impacted your life?
Oh, it's definitely impacted my life. When I first found out, of course, my first thought was, have I done enough to make sure my wife's all right and everything like that? And now, you know, we've kind of gotten through a little bit of it and kind of gotten not used to it, but
managed,
relaxed a little bit and managed. Yeah. So finished treatment and just kind of going, everything's clear now. So
awesome.
Hopefully stays that way.
That's great, what man. We like to hear.
Everything. Those are great words, right? Everything's
yes.
clear
N-E-D.
And we're moving on.
Yes.
That's right. So tell us, you know, why you choose to participate in 24 hours and maybe what it means to you personally.
So, great event, as you know, everybody says it's a great event, a great cause. A buddy of mine actually was diagnosed before I was with melanoma. He volunteered out here. Of course, my brother's rode.
Yes.
Then after he volunteered, we got our group together and started riding, you know, get our group of friends together and get out there and ride.
So Joshua's brother, as he said, his brother has ridden. His brother, I want to give him a quick little shout out, the warden. Aaron is his name. Aaron is a great cyclist. I think it's a very fair statement to say.
Very fair.
And
you're better though, right?
Oh,
you can't let a brother one up you, right?
Well, I tell you, the thing of it is, I have a connection with these guys because his brother trained Bryson, who was just popped in a second ago on the podcast, for Leadville. And he basically assured him and said, if you will follow what I'm going to teach you or tell you, if you in schedule for you, you will finish. You will finish in time for a buckle. And you have to do a sub-9-hour time frame or 9-hour time frame to get a buckle. And he did. And I remember calling him in tears in my eyes and thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, because it was
great.
Over. But I tell you, you know, what kind of advice and words of encouragement would you give folks that are currently in treatment or maybe in remission?
Take it day to day. Remember to do the things that you love to do. Don't stop doing it. That's the biggest thing with me. Find what you love to do and keep doing it. Don't give it up.
So what event are you riding this weekend?
Yes. Started riding a lot more. Friends traveling, you name it, just keep doing it.
Yeah. Which part of the event are you in this year? Four-person mountain bike team. Competitive.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what their team name is, Pam?
I have no earthly idea.
Okay, so their team name is really cool. I love team names because it tells a lot about personality. It tells a lot about, like, maybe their humor. Some people are more humorous than others. Their team name is Gears and Beers.
Hey, I saw that sign putting them out whenever we put them
Pam
all out.
Pam took care of putting them out, so your sign was placed by yours truly, Pam McMillan.
Super competitive name.
You know, I always think, this must be the fun bunch. I want to go here. Where did they come up with this? This is too competitive for me. Yeah. So.
How did they come up with this? Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming out all the way from DFW. We appreciate your support, and you know, we look forward to having you for many years.
Yes. That's right. We got to get Aaron back out here. That's our mission.
We'll work on it.
All right. The warden, you have been called out.
Yes. All right. I'll work on it.
That's
sure.
safe for us to say that because he's a long ways away from here.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you. Have a good event.
You too.
Let's talk about our sponsor again real quick.
Absolutely.
PinkShoeProject.org. Go check them out. If you know someone who's going through breast cancer, send them some pink shoes. Let them wear pink shoes during their treatment and after treatment.
You know, pink would make me happy.
Yeah, it does. It does. And speaking of pink, our next guest is wearing pink.
Yes.
And really excited. I've known Alicia for a while. Mainly, not really Alicia, but her husband. I've known her husband a long time. Ridden bikes and participated in events with your husband. But Alicia Leathers is joining us. So, Alicia, tell our listeners where you're from, what kind of cancer you had, and when you were diagnosed.
Sure. So, my husband and I are here from Amarillo. We've been here since we got married over 30 years ago. I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in March of 2020. So, we got cancer and COVID going on at the same time.
How did you manage both diagnoses, because I'm sure your husband couldn't go with you to a lot of things, or could he?
Yes, and so that was kind of one of the things that I appreciate that you guys do what you do, because it was a very isolating time to go through cancer. He could not come to my appointments. Of course, everything was closed down, so, you know, Survivorship Center wasn't happening, and so it felt kind of like a prison sentence, being there at the house, afraid of people because I was immunocompromised, and I work as a nurse practitioner, so I couldn't even really see patients or do work or anything like that. And so it was a big breath of freedom when all that passed and we were able to get out again.
So how has your diagnosis impacted your life's perspective?
I thought about that question, and a little bit of an interesting perspective for me. Like I said, I am a nurse practitioner, and it really gave me a look into the people that I treat. Not that I was a discompassionate person, but definitely being through a serious illness gave me that look into what it feels like to be a patient. And knowing what it is to have something going on or be scared and call in, and just being able to see it from their perspective has made me a better nurse practitioner.
You know, it's different on that other side of
it. It for sure is.
Yeah. So why do you choose to participate in 24 hours?
There's a couple of, you know, from a personal side, my chemotherapy was 6 treatments that took about 2 hours each time. And I'm doing the 12-hour race. And so when I'm doing this race, I think about the hours that I spent in chemo. And no matter how hard life is, there's nothing as hard as that was. Mm. And every difficult thing you come against, you know you can get through it at this point. And it's just a reminder of how grateful I am as I'm doing this race. I think about all the blessings I have in my life.
What a interesting perspective.
I love it.
You know?
Well, thank you. Yeah, and
well, breaking it down in your chunks of time.
Right, right, right. I mean, the entire time that I'm racing, I'm thinking, this is nothing compared to what I went through. As hard as it is to do a bike for 12 hours, not as hard as chemo.
I think a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, I think that's a silly statement to potentially make, but people think bike riding's hard. Like, oh, I'm doing 24 hours. You know?
Right.
That's nothing compared to what our survivors go through?
Basically, it empties you and takes you down to the bare minimum of yourself. I guess from a personal perspective, I realized what it was to have everything taken away from you, the ability to even breathe as you walk upstairs. I mean, it just completely changes your life and makes you so grateful when you do experience that healing and for every second that you have.
And to be athletic.
Right.
And have that taken
for sure
away.
For sure.
How was that?
Like I said, definitely it makes you appreciative of your health and physical capabilities, and to realize how important that is and how important it is to focus on maintaining that health and think about what you eat, what you put in your body, how you stay fit and exercise, and just be so thankful that you have that ability.
So what advice or words of encouragement would you offer to other survivors?
One thing that I would, one caution, whenever you get the diagnosis of cancer, there are a lot of well-meaning people that come forward and, relate negative experiences they had as kind of a forewarning for you. But every person's journey is different. And, for me, that would create a lot of anxiety thinking about things that they would tell me, this is going to happen to you, or, expect this. Yeah. One thing that was, wonderful for me, I was able to use cold caps. I didn't lose my hair, and that was a big anxiety thing that people would talk about. So I just encourage people to, take in what people have to say, but don't take it too far to heart, because your journey is going to be different.
It's yours.
And, you're not going to have every terrible thing happen to you. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And just like for me, the biggest thing was I would walk every day and meditate as I did, and I would just take it one step at a time. And that was my focus, like one step forward each day. And, you just progress every day and get there.
It doesn't have to be giant steps. It can be right. Those baby steps.
And it can be slower when you need it that day. And it's just, keeping that positive outlook for sure, and just trying to stay in movement.
Pam, it's interesting, and I assume our listeners have picked up on this.
Yeah.
There seems to be, these people they don't know the other people they've talked, that have been on the podcast.
Right.
They don't. And there's this common theme, right?
Yes.
I mean, well, several themes, but the biggest common theme has been, and I think Alicia may be our fifth or sixth person we've talked to, it's keeping moving.
Yes.
No matter what it is, just keep moving.
Right.
Stay active at whatever level. Find what you enjoy to do. Walk,
right.
Being active, and do it.
Right. For sure.
The beauty of that is that we have things for survivors to participate at the center, and we meet you where you're at.
That's right.
You don't have to ride 24 hours or 12 hours, but you can one day if that's your goal.
Sure.
So, if you're a survivor listening, we want to make sure that you come out and see us.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Alicia, for joining us. Have a good event.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Pam, our next guest, this is going to be a shocker to you, but I know this next person.
How do you know everybody,
Ryan? Have had a relationship with her and her partner in business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
Yes.
And it's exciting to get to visit with her. It's weird, right, how these paths cross.
Absolutely.
And the weird web that we live in. But it's a very unique story. And so super excited to have Rachel Spire joining us. Rachel.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good. I'm amazing. I'm really happy to be here.
Y'all just got here just a bit ago.
7 o'clock. We rolled in. We're well fed now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the boys are out playing.
They are.
You said they were out playing, having a good time.
Yes.
Beautiful place. Let's tell our listeners what kind of cancer you're diagnosed and when you were diagnosed.
Okay. In 2020, I was diagnosed with head and neck cancer, tongue cancer to be specific. And so it's been quite a ride the last 4 years.
And during the pandemic.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I had an ulcer on my tongue, and, going to the dentist it was the pandemic. You didn't get out
right.
much. So anyways, I let it go for too long.
And went to the dentist.
Yeah.
And the dentist said,
he's like, ooh, that doesn't look good. Yeah. I'm like, really? Like, I mean, how bad could it be? What do we have to do here?
Yeah, what are we going to fix this?
I had never heard of tongue cancer. I had no idea that it was even a thing. But I went to go get a biopsy. That's what it was. You know, you go through all the testing and it's good and then it's bad and then it's good and then it's bad. Yeah. And then you just gotta,
And this, you roll on the roller coaster, right?
You do, yeah. And you know, it's that keeping that positive mindset throughout that's what kept me going. Yeah.
So absolutely. How has your diagnosis impacted your perspective on life?
Every day counts. Every person that you meet, your paths cross with people that, it's for a reason, and it's amazing the connections that you make and how we all need each other in some way. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so Pam and Rachel, the next question, I'm going to help answer this question.
Okay.
And the question, I'll just go ahead and ask it and then I'll say my two cents and then I'll let you finish.
Okay.
Is, why do you choose to participate at 24 hours? And, mm-hmm. and really, what does the event hold for you and mean for you? Several years ago, when we decided to actually do some competitive stuff, we used to only do non-competitive, and we started to do competitive things. And I stumbled across, I can't remember if it was a Facebook page or an Instagram page, and it was this company called Regeared. Mm-hmm. And they made some cool stuff. They used old bike parts, chains, gears, you know, things like that, sprockets, if you will, cassettes, to make trophies. And it was really cool stuff. And I'm like, this is what we need. This is it. So I reach out and I'm like, hey, here's who I am. Da, da, da. We'd love to visit with you about, you know, helping us with our trophies and making trophies. Da, 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 da. And I don't remember if it was you or if it was Lauren that I talked to first. And go ahead.
It was me.
It was you.
It was definitely you.
Okay.
Me. Yeah.
She's
taken over since.
She's taken over since then. Okay.
Yeah. But back then it was.
That
me.
Was been a while.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. Let's make this happen. And I actually ended up driving down. And met them at their shop mm-hmm. and picked up all the trophies. We were going to be in there for whatever reason in Dallas. That in Grapevine now, but it was in Dallas at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And we've been with them ever since. And
cool trophies.
They're very
out.
Cool trophies. And you know the thing of it is you know you become friends on Facebook, right? Like the Regeared girls. You know, here we are. Da da da.
Right.
And all I do is I email them, hey, here's what I mean. I need. They got it all. They cut it out. They do. It's great. And then I start to see these Facebook posts about Rachel. Mm. And I'm like, I had no idea. And so I met about her tongue cancer. And it hit me hard because I'm like, I know these people.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with these people. And I remember messaging you and Lauren and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I feel so terrible. You were like, how would you know? We didn't tell you, you know. And but it's so cool because of our relationship that, you know, you guys finally have had a chance to come and participate.
Right.
And bring your boys and have a good time with it all. And it means so much that, you know, we work together. You guys are helping us and doing all the things. And then to be here to participate and be a part of it is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's community that gets us through.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
Rachel, for those that are wondering, is this your first year riding?
It is. Yeah. So I had signed up last year.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to talk
They came the year before.
We
so
did.
Last
and
year, they came a couple
of
years ago and hung out.
Yeah.
You were on your way on a trip somewhere.
We were in the boys' race.
The boys did the kids' race and they got medals that their parents had made for them.
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh. They still have them. Carlisle, who is not, and he's not into sports at all, loves this event. He's like, he's so excited to ride his bike. It's the only time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Well, what advice or encouragement, you know, would you share with others that are going through treatment?
Yeah.
We kind of touched on that, but is there anything else that you would?
I mean, it's really leaning into the people that are around you and staying positive. I mean, it's not always, you have hard days, but But there's so much hope and so much goodness in all of it. I just stay positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that. So what event will you be riding?
We're doing the competitive 24-hour.
It's a four ladies team.
We're all in.
All in.
All they in. Have,
listen,
first time
Tam, they have
in the
pushed
riding.
All their chips in. Four ladies.
Kudos
mountain bike
to
team.
You.
Yeah. It's so cool. It's so cool because I love, we're all about family. We talk about, and I'll talk about this tomorrow at the event. You know, welcome to the 24 Hours family. You're part of the 24 Hours family.
Yes.
And your family is here doing things and supporting you.
Yes.
You know, and the boys are excited, and it's a cool family atmosphere.
It definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank
you guys.
Having me.
Listen, for your vision with Regeared, give out your website.
Yeah. Re-geared.com.
Re-geared.com. If you're in the event business, they make stuff off the wall. I mean, it's crazy. They helped our friends out with some trophies for the Down Syndrome Guild.
Yes.
It was so cool. So, listen, go check them out. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell the family hi for me.
Thank you.
All right.
Ryan, we have our next guest.
Yes.
Tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Rick Turnbill. I live in Midland, Texas now. Spend most of my time in Brenham, Texas,
yeah.
Where all my family is.
Isn't Brenham like close
you know,
to
Bluebell?
It's famous. I was going to say, it's not close to anything. It's close to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, right between Houston and College Station, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, tell our listeners what type of cancer you were diagnosed with and when you were diagnosed.
Yeah. Prostate cancer in 2022, right? Yeah, actually 21.
Uh-huh.
Did surgery in 22, and everything's went great so far. We've been watching it for a while. I think that's my message. That's the thing that I talk a lot about to guys is stay ahead of it. You know, I'd been watching since I was about 40. I had a really close friend actually a couple of them passed away from colon cancer. And the one thing both of them said is, guys, get ahead of this.
Yeah.
And so I'm in their honor. You know, I do a lot of bike rides. And so that's always my drive, you know, but that's not enough. You know, being vocal. And so in honor of them, I'd been watching it for a while. And at 21, we decided, hey, we probably need to do something and took some, you know, necessary tests and biopsies and
so I'm assuming when you're saying watching it was the proverbial watchful waiting, right?
Well, yeah, we kind of knew it was coming, and it was interesting. My father, who's 75, he had his prostate removed in 21, and so you know, I had an idea what to go. I went with him to MD Anderson, and we went through all the process. So. But I kept thinking, not me. You know, I'm only 52 years old, 51 at the time.
Right.
Not me. And then all of a sudden it was me. Right. And I think that's really the drive that I have for guys now is, once again, get ahead of it, stay out of it. Know your health, know your body.
And get checked.
Get checked. Yeah. It's an easy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Such an easy thing.
You know, talking about prostate, just real quick for a plug, our foundation, Pam, you know, we provide two opportunities for guys in the Amarillo area. To have free PSA blood draws done, usually one in September, and then in September, and then we're going to do another one in October, and it's important. A lot of people just don't even think about like it's a simple blood test.
It is.
Now, of course, that's not the end all be all.
It's not.
But
it's a start.
If we can just get us guys, to be okay with the blood draw, and then the next step if need be. You know, it makes a big difference.
No, I fully agree. I believe that if you have the ability to do something, it's your responsibility. And we all have the ability to sit in a chair and take a needle stick, right? Have some blood drawn. And I think we owe it. You know, most men are going to be diagnosed or they're going to die with prostate cancer. May not have gotten to a stage where they need to do anything. But, I mean, that's pretty common knowledge now. Maybe our grandfathers didn't know that, but we do.
True.
And so it's our responsibility.
I like what he said. If you have the ability, it's your responsibility.
Absolutely. And it's not just this.
That's like profound. A good tagline there.
That is very profound.
I do this for a living.
I love it. No, seriously, because I'm a guy, and we're hard-headed, right? I mean, we are. The guys are. And it's just very treatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't be having, you know, zero deaths from prostate cancer, or very few deaths from prostate
cancer,
because it can be treated if caught early.
That's the number one question I get is, you know, with prostate cancer for guys, there are a few top three questions I get, and I'm not going to go into those, but my response always that, listen, I intend to squeeze every bit of juice I can out of this lemon of life.
Yeah.
Healthy, non-healthy, cancer, no cancer. And so when I was faced with this, I literally looked at my doctor and I said, well, you found it. Fix it.
You got to get this fixed. Yeah.
And he laughed. And we had a great relationship.
You found it.
He goes, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know. You're
the doctor.
But I think that's it. And you're right. I'm the worst, right? I don't take Tylenol, I don't take aspirin, because when I take it, I want it to work, that kind of thing. I'm bullheaded. My wife will tell you I'm bullheaded. But with this, you know, once again, in honor of those of my friends who did everything. I mean, they fought and fought and fought. And I had the ability to do something very proactive. I was grade three, grade four, pretty heavy at grade four. And I had a chance right then to do something about it. And all I kept thinking about is, what is my legacy going to be? What's my story going to be? And it wasn't about me. It's not about what my voice was going to say, but what was I going to do? What were my actions? What was my responsibility going to turn into? And that's really what drove me. It's what I love to tell now. I tell those guys is, listen, you got kids, you got family, you got grandkids. Let's get past being a man for a moment and be a human being and care about those that love us. I had a very close friend of ours that she was fighting ovarian cancer. She'd already found out and she was in the mix of it. She was fighting. And I didn't tell my wife that I knew that I was going to have surgery until 2 months before the surgery. A whole list of reasons why.
We don't want to open that can of worms.
So I literally FaceTimed my mom on the recovery bed. And the whole point of that was we didn't know at the time. And I didn't want to be able to worry. You know, it's like, we have a plan. We're going to execute it.
Yeah.
I told my doctor, fix it. He's going to do it. I have every faith in him. But on my friend, she was in the mix of it. And she says, you know, this may not be about you. Maybe this is somebody else's chance to love on you. Maybe this is somebody else's chance to fulfill what they're supposed to do. That this is about somebody else's impact on your life. And your job is to let them. And man, it hit me hard. We lost her April 29th. Just recently lost her. And so tomorrow's going to be a lot about her as well.
Sure.
But you know, when you get in those situations, it's incredible the people that can speak into your lives. And once again, that ability and responsibility comes out strongly when those people do.
Did you find it hard to let people help you?
I did. Absolutely. I've always been that way. And that's worse is knowing that, right?
Right.
That's worse is knowing it. Sure. And I'm the oldest of four boys, very self-sufficient. I've always struggled with that, not just this. And so that's the beauty. I'm grateful. I am extremely grateful to have went through this because there's been a change in my heart. You know, I'm a firm Christian, firm believer in Christ. And I had to do some deep dives because this went way beyond just a spiritual thing. This went into physical and then right back to me. You know, why is this such a deal and letting go, right? So I did, but the process has been amazing. The people have been amazing. Karen, God love her, she was amazing. And now it's my responsibility to pass that on and to plug in and I learned my lesson the hard way, I guess you could say.
You know, you just touched on something and I'm gonna interject here, and I think I've shared this once before, maybe on one of these podcasts with our survivors. I used to ride road bikes a long time ago, and was a huge Lance Armstrong fan.
Yeah.
Not so much because of what he came out with that he did, but his cancer battle.
Yeah. I love him.
In one of his books, he talks about the doctor that cured him, sat him down and said, I want to tell you about the obligation of the cured. And he said, your obligation is now to be what other people have been for you and help other people. And that's what you just said.
I don't think I said it like that. That was good. That was really good.
Hey, you can use it next time.
It's in one of his books.
Yeah.
And that was very powerful to me when I read that.
Yeah.
And it meant a lot to me to think about all the people we work with and we help and how they go, our survivors are ambassadors for us, ambassadors for care. You know, hey, you're struggling. I know a place that can help you.
Absolutely.
You need assistance. We got a place. I can get you in the right spot.
Call me.
Yeah, I've been there. I can help you. Yeah. You know, the obligation of the cured is really a powerful statement.
Obligation of the cured. That's good. I think it goes right back to what I was saying a while ago about the responsibility. But I think it's. I think for me, and I love the road bike thing because. My doctor, at surgery in February, he said, don't even think about getting on that road bike. It's predominantly what I do is road bike,
yeah.
Especially in West Texas.
Yes, of course.
But I wanted to go do Rag Brag again. I've done it several times, and this last year was the 50th anniversary.
So, Pam, Rag Brag is Race Across Iowa. All right, state of Iowa.
Registers annual great bicycle ride across Iowa.
Yeah, it's a multi-day.
That sounds like not my event
When we got to Des Moines, we had over 60,000 people. There are people from all over the world that come. It's the greatest thing in the world. Maybe rides a road bike, they've got to go do Rag Brag.
It's the greatest thing in the world other than 24 hours in the canyon.
My bad. On a road bike.
So speaking of 24, why do you participate in 24?
Well, first of all, anytime you say group bike ride, we all show up. We're like cockroaches coming out of the woodwork. But that's a short answer. But, you know, honestly, I think it goes back to the ability and responsibility. I want to be involved. So back to your question, Walga, was it hard for me to accept help? Absolutely it was. But by the grace of God, I got through that. And I changed because of that. So because of that, what better... I mean, thank you. First of all, thank you guys for doing this. Thank you for what you do daily. But thank you for doing this because this gives all of us a chance to come together and it not just be about the group bike ride.
Yeah.
Right. We're not just riding out to get a cup of coffee and coming back. This gives us a chance to all get together and share stories. Because there's still days when you're like, man, I'm not who I was a year and a half ago. There's some changes, right, that happen. Sure. And when you can get those guys together, I think it's powerful. I think it's a great reunion that empowers us to go out and do that same thing, to go tell folks, to be an ambassador, to be I forget what the word was, for the cured. The obligation of the cured. Thank you. Obligation of the cured. I think this is a great catalyst, if you will, to spark that and send us back out. So that's why, this is my first time here.
Yeah.
So to Palo Canyon?
No. To the 24. The event. I'd seen it 2 or 3 times, you know, when you're caught up in groups and stuff, and I knew I wanted to be part of it. Now all of a sudden I had a reason to be.
Yeah.
And somebody actually called me out on Facebook and said, are you doing this? And I am now.
Yeah, I guess I am.
And I really dug in and I've done all the MS-50s, all those things. This one hit home. And I feel like I can be effective to whomever crosses my path. Right. I'm not going to go pick guys out of Walmart.
Yeah.
And start talking to them. Yeah. But I absolutely want to be a source. Call me.
Absolutely. Yeah,
there's places you can go. There's groups like folks like yourself, and I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan and I often talk about, you know, this being an event, but it's more than the event. Absolutely. Just like you said, you know, get to share stories, you get to reminisce, you get to talk about, you know, maybe your diagnosis inspires somebody else to go get tested.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for being what you're doing and being here.
Absolutely. You know, I need to interject real quick and we need to talk about if you'd allow us, Rick. We have a prostate program at our center.
Yes.
You know, so listen, guys, if you live in the 26 counties of the Texas Panhandle, we have specific resources for prostate cancer survivors from the moment of your diagnosis. We have, of course, mental health counselors, licensed professional counselors. We have a dietitian that specializes in oncology. Yeah. We also have a wonderful thing, two things, right, that are very important to guys. One is we have pelvic floor rehab for urinary incontinence. Yep. And we also work with a sexual therapist out of Austin. And it's done virtual. So you're never going to run into this lady. You can talk to this person and she can help you.
Yeah.
She is a licensed sexual therapist. It's not what you think it is. It is help. Yes. And it's important. And so the bottom line is we put that in place because we have so much prostate cancer in our region that it's so important that we have those programs. And, oh, by the way, because of this crazy thing that we're at this weekend, it's entirely free.
Yeah.
100% free.
100%. Yeah, so you can't change yesterday.
Right.
We have no idea what tomorrow's going to happen, but we have today. We have a choice to make. And the of all the questions I get asked, you're exactly right. And I think that's those two things are the one and two inhibitors of men that maybe they don't want to know, or they're fearful of, I can't do that. I've got a friend right now that's going through prostate, some issues, got some numbers flaring up, doing the biopsy. And his biggest fear are urinary incontinence and erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
And I keep saying, man, you've got six beautiful kids at home.
Yeah.
You've got a responsibility here. And so thank you for providing that, free or not free, because I think that's the biggest inhibitor for guys. You know, that's a lot of who we are and what we put our pride in.
Identity.
And so, man, you got to get past that because there's so much more to life.
Rick. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Rick, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, man. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have a great time.
Thank you.
And soak it all in. And yeah.
We can't wait to see you next year.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Have a good event, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, it's never a dull moment here at the park. You know, Ryan had to step out, and I have Maribel back in.
Yes.
But we have our next special guest, Shannon Brooks. Shannon, where are you from?
Well, I have lived in Amarillo. I moved from Brownfield, Texas, then to Lubbock at Texas Tech, and then in 1977 came to Amarillo to open a business here, and I've been here ever since. That's probably about 47 or 8 years, right? Something like that.
Okay.
Yes. So what type of cancer were you diagnosed with, and what year?
Sure. So it's the funniest story. With my urologist, he had retired, and I outlived most of my people anyway. But as urologist, he had retired, so I got a new one. And he said, you know, I've looked back at all your records, and I don't see where you'd have any kind of problems with your PSA, and you probably will be good. I said, that's great. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And so he calls me a week later, and he goes, you know, we better check on this again. And I didn't want to answer the phone because I knew something was bad. And sure enough, about October of 24, so it'll be October of 23. He said, you're really high. Let's do some other tests. And so we did the bone scans and we did the CT scans, and it was awfully high. And he said, you need to make a decision. So I didn't want to tell my family. It's the funniest thing. Father had cancer and he passed early. Mother had cancer and she passed early, and my brother. So the Fab Four, it was just me, and I've outlived them all. So I thought this is my time.
Oh.
And so my wife and I, a wife of 46 years, we just wanted to wait and tell the kids after we knew the extent of it. And fortunately, it was contained, not outside, so we had more options. And so I had surgery, and then I had to go back for another procedure just recently at Bader Scott & White over in McKinney, and everything's well now. I can lift more than 8 pounds, so I didn't have that much time to get in shape for this thing about April the 15th. So
yeah.
I'm very thankful, so I'm cancer-free at the moment.
That's awesome. So how has your diagnosis impacted your perspective on life?
Well, that's one of the most meaningful questions that could happen in a person's life. How it's affected me is I was alone in my family of four, so now I have my wife and two kids and then grandkids, and I'm of course more thankful. Humility is really been a big thing for me, and understanding when someone has cancer. And the funniest thing, I'm in a bunch of different small groups and volunteer ministry things, and this was a small group that I didn't choose to be in. And so everyone that has known me through the years has attached to me and said, what should we do? And I said, well, let's talk about what you have and how deep it is. And it's still continuing. People from all around that I've met and have known, it's been very humbling for
wow.
them to call me, and they're comfortable calling me. And I pray with them and visit with them. And it is I'm just thankful, you know. Your timeline is so short.
Sure.
No one's guaranteed tomorrow. So why do you choose to participate in 24 Hours? Well, what's the meaning for you?
The thing that's always gotten me going is I've always been an athletic guy, a little guy, but athletic from a small town, and I've never felt like that I've ever been too old. And being 69, diagnosed with cancer at 68, it caused a little bit of a struggle, because at my age, and everyone out there that's my age will understand this, you have to continually keep a type of workout going, a system to keep your lungs and everything going and your weight. And because when you stop, it's twice as hard or five times as hard to get back to the condition that you need to be. And so I'm biking and running, and I love to snow ski, and I love the team rope of all things.
Wow.
And I love to mountain bike. And I picked that up about 10 years ago, and I do it heavily. I've got a little place in Santa Fe. And so I'm always biking there, but having to stop for a year to a year and a half with a lot of things that happened with the cancer has changed my life to go, you know, no matter if I'm tired or no matter if I'm full of energy or no matter if I'm out of town or if I'm too busy, you need to have time to be thankful and spend time alone understanding what's going on, and then go out there and work out and then be an example to as many people as you can. So I love to bike, and trying to keep up with the young guys is a tough thing. Technical, I can keep up with every one of them as far as difficulties on ups and downs and rocks and everything else. But as far as endurance and strength, they have to wait on me on certain things. So sometimes it's just best to bike by myself and enjoy the beauty of God's nature. And
Well, yes, you just kind of stop and able to enjoy, but it's okay. It's all
right. Oh, I love it. I've learned to be slower.
I bet they thank you sometimes, too, to say, hey, we'll just stay back with you.
You know, I tell them, I say, with the things that have happened to me and then trying to stay in shape and with the cancer and with the issues and then trying to help other people, you think, if I could look back and be my age and see them at this age, and I'd go, I told you so, you better be.
Yeah, so that was my next question. So, and you alluded to that earlier, you know, you have a little bit of a support group where you're mentoring or talking to these younger fellas.
Absolutely.
But what words of encouragement would you offer to those that are going through this?
You know, that... It depends on the situation. I met a young guy that has some serious problems, and he reached out to me and he touched my heart. And so I've been spending quite a bit of time visiting with him every morning. We do some little devotions and things and stuff. And I don't know, it's hanging on to someone. You don't want to let someone go, because I've been feeling alone when I was diagnosed, and then we were waiting. It's always the waiting game that knocks a person down on the depression side, and you've got to stay ahead of that. So I'm by myself out in a pasture riding my horse, looking at the sun, thinking, God, what's going to happen? You know, what are they going to tell me, and what's going to be the issues because of my history with all the family? My encouragement and advice is to hang with someone no matter how long and how hard and what they may say to you, how they may feel, you know, hungry, lonely, tired, angry, whatever they are, you've got to stay in the game with them and smile and be positive in every way you can, because 99% of overcoming anything is encouragement and being positive, no matter what. People are positive all their lives, and the negative people, it's so easy to be negative.
Sure.
So I'm going to be positive and positive till the end, and then we'll have continued lives from there.
I love that. That was a perfect answer. I love that.
You know, at the Survivorship Center, you know, there's a lot of survivors that don't have that community like you. So, you know, if you're struggling out there and need help, we're here for you. You know?
That's for me. I can tell them so many stories with so many different histories of the cancer. So to to say, I was always looking. It's the funniest thing. I was always, when everyone would want to have a cancer fundraiser, or can you come help with this? And I was so bitter for years because, you know, it didn't matter what we had done. My mom passed away, my brother passed away, and my father passed away. So I didn't really have a compassion for wanting to go do things. Then after I had it, complete change. I'm a survivor. I love to live life every day, get up and work out every day, do something to work out and have your quiet time and then go forward and just be positive in life. There's so many people that aren't.
Makes a big difference.
Oh my. Tired or energetic. Be positive. And endurance is the lifeblood of everything. Strength and endurance, no matter what, and just be positive and think through it. And you got to have people to talk to, right?
Yes.
We are very blessed with some counselors at this center.
You know, life is about pre-pit, in the pit, and post-pit. And all that means is I'm going along thinking everything's good, and then you get blindsided and you drop into a pit. It could be the cancer, it could be anything that happens in your life, some tragedy, and in this case we're talking about the cancer. How you deal with that, it's joy and suffering. We've got to learn to say, what does that mean? You've got to be thankful no matter what. No matter if you're suffering with cancer or no matter if you're cancer-free, you've got to find that joy and be examples for everyone around you. And then when you climb out of that pit, you're going, phew, I'm done with that. And then you can be ready. There's going to be something else that's going to knock you out again. But you've got to be able to handle that.
Shannon, thank you so much for telling us about your story. We hope that you have an amazing weekend, and I hope that you can keep up with those young guys on your team.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna be,
you're going to outride them.
Oh, I'm going to wear them out.
Yeah.
How fun is that to be part of this?
Yes.
You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
You know, Maribel, cancer has lots of twists and turns.
It really does.
In every story, as we have heard tonight, they're all different. Every chapter in everybody's life is different, and it's the way we handle things.
Yes.
Just like tonight, Ryan had to disappear, and you filled in, and it's been a blessing to be here with you and with our survivors. And, you know, again, shout out to the Pink Shoe Project for sponsoring this episode.
Yes, thank you.
You know, we can't do it without the support of the riders, the people that fundraise with us or for us, and all those sponsors. We really, truly are a blessed community.
We really are. This is just a great start to the weekend. It's a big eye-opener. Reminds us why we're here and what we do. And just very blessed to be able to hear everybody's story.
You know, the common theme tonight and throughout this whole event has been, you know, what has cancer given me? You know, it's perspective. What can I look at life different? And so, you know, if you're down in the dumps, I challenge you to look at the next person, you know, and find a blessing in every day.
Yeah, find that positivity. Just find that what's going to pull you through. And don't forget us. If you're local, we'd love to see you at the center. Call us, come by at the Cancer Survivorship Center. We'd love to see you.
Yes. You know, again, thank you to the Pink Shoe Project. We hope all the riders out there had an amazing event, and we look forward to having them on next year.
Yes.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported 24 Hours in the Canyon and the Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website, 24survivorship.org.